We are going to Ephesians today. So if you'd like to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1, that's where we shall start. In Ephesians chapter 1. Considering all the media that we have today, it's clear that we get news and information from all over the world. And because of that, we get negative information, negative news from all over the world in amounts hitherto unknown. And the more the media that we have improves, the more we get exposed to bad news. Every day is just chock full of bad news. Whether you see it on the internet, whether you hear it on the radio, whether you see it on TV or cable news or primetime news or read it in a local newspaper or hear it from somebody you know, or perhaps you get exposed to bad news. But I don't know about you, I've had a belly full of bad news. Haven't you? And I'm thinking about that this week. And of course, some people say, well, you know, the world's not, it's not as bad as everybody thinks. It's because of the news you get from all around, which is true. You wouldn't know these things before that take place. You'd have no way of knowing what happens in different places of the country or the world, were it not for the media outlets that bring it to you. But the world is not better. The world is worse, and every day it decays a little bit more. It's decomposing. It's corrupting. Every day, just a little bit more. And so I'm thinking about that this week. I thought, well, what about the good news? The good news, of course, from God's Word is referred to as the gospel, the good news. And another thing about the gospel that even was in our vernacular is people would, when they wanted you to know that something was absolutely true, that you could swear by it, they'd say, well, that years ago anyway, they'd say, that's gospel, brother, meaning it's true. Well, this good news is true. And I can still remember when it lived for me, the first time the good news really lived for me. I can remember what that felt like as if it were yesterday. I can't describe it, but I can remember what that felt like. It was kind of like the feeling you get when it's a spring day. You know that feeling? You can't quite describe it other than to say, this is the feeling I get when it's like a really beautiful spring day, when the birds are singing, and the sun is shining, and the skies are blue, and there's no clouds, and the grass is green, and the flowers are coming up. You know what I mean. And I can still remember when the good news lived for me for the first time. That's how I felt. I can still remember that. Maybe you can, too. If I think about it, I can bring to memory that feeling anytime. And to this day, and it's been, well over 36 years now, I still can't describe it, but it's an indescribable feeling, and that's something that we should keep in our minds and hearts all the time and not allow all these negative outlets to steal that from us. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, we read that we should be to the praise of His glory, we who first trusted in Christ, talking about the Judeans, Paul and others like him at the time. Verse 13, in whom ye also, that would be us, trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel. You see how truth and the gospel are linked? The gospel of your salvation, whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, just the token, just the down payment, just the proof of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. the gospel of our salvation. What a tremendous reality that is. And again, when that first lived for me, the feeling that accompanied that, the just felt so light and unburdened, and the future looked so bright. It was just like a spring day that was going to last forever and ever and ever. And we're sealed up with that Holy Spirit of promise. We are sealed. Well, if you're sealed, you're what? You're sealed. This word gospel, the English word, interestingly enough, comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, Godspell. I didn't look it up, but I wonder if whoever wrote that play years ago, Godspell, I wonder if they were thinking of that and had any knowledge of that at the time. But that's where the word gospel, Godspell, comes from, Godspell. It comes from the Greek word evangelion, which means good message. And that's what evangelism is supposed to be. It's supposed to be bringing that good news, those glad tidings, that good message, that good news to people, that they too, should they believe, can partake of that wonderful reality we know to be salvation that comes only from God. This gospel is called many things in the Word of God. In Acts chapter 20, it's called the gospel of the grace of God. We just read in Ephesians where it's called the gospel of our salvation. I'd just like to look at some of these things today, just as a refreshing reminder of how wonderful this good news is. Enough of the bad news. Bad enough, some of it we have to actually pay attention to. But we don't have to pay attention to all of it. And it should all be overshadowed by the good news. You know, journalism, in its purest form, is not supposed to bring good news. That's not what they teach them in journalism school, journalism classes. They teach them to bring that sensationalism, that, you know, stories of human interest. If you've noticed, the most horrendous, and I do mean there are horrendous stories that are set forth, when they start to lose appeal, they fall to the back and other horrendous stories come forward. That's how they sell news. Now, of course, you're supposed to just bring the information, and it should be a good message. We can do that like nobody else. Acts 20, verse 24. This is Paul. He met with the elders at Ephesus. Of course, he wouldn't listen. He was on his way to Jerusalem. And they said, you know, you really shouldn't go. There's all these negative things going to happen to you. But he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. The good news of the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And that baby, that's good news. That's good news. There's no news to compare with that. No matter how bad the news of the world is, the news of the day, of the week, or the month, or the year, that good news overshadows all of it. Because that good news is the good news of our salvation. The good news of the grace of God, not by our works. It's also called, and this is the first, one of the first occurrences of it, if not the first, it's called the gospel of the kingdom. And we can find that in Matthew chapter 4. Gospel of Matthew. These records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are called the gospel records. And of course, to most people, the word gospel simply means Jesus died for your sins and rose again. But there's so much more than that. Of course, that is true, but all that that brings with it is so much bigger. And here in Matthew chapter 4, in the 23rd verse, this is the very first occurrence of this word, that's translated gospel here, this Greek word. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So he taught and he preached. You know, there's a difference between teaching and preaching. And I've shared this with you before on numerous occasions. But let's reiterate. To teach is to take a subject and take that subject apart and do your very best to make it clear and help to give an understanding or an explanation of it. You give a proper explanation of God's Word, you're teaching a subject of God's Word so that the individuals who are listening can get the knowledge of it. If their hearts are open, then God will give the understanding as well. That's what it is to teach. It's to take something apart and to, by step, break it down and make it clear. Preaching, however, means to call attention to herald forth the greatness of something. And here, after Jesus taught, he also heralded or set forth or called attention to the greatness of the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of the kingdom. And then on the heel of that, or I should say in the tail of that, there was healing. He healed all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. So first came the teaching and the preaching, the good news, the glad tidings of the kingdom, which we know also, as we've read, is the good news of the grace of God, the good news of our salvation. Look in Romans chapter 1. Acts Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I am not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of Christ. Here it's called the gospel, the good news of the Messiah. The good news of Christ, Christ meaning the Messiah. The good news of God's anointed one, the promised seed who was born, lived out his earthly ministry, gave his life, a sacrifice for us that we might be redeemed and brought into God's family. And he's coming back. That's the good news of the Messiah. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it, which is a figure of speech meaning just the opposite. I'm proud of it. I am proud of the good news. Some of this bad news, how could anybody be proud of it? Some of it, you're almost embarrassed to bring it forth. Some of it's so bad that when people hear it, or you hear it, you feel like, geez, I need to take a shower now. It makes you feel dirty, some of the bad news. The good news makes you feel clean and light. As I was saying, I can still remember the feeling. That light, unburdened, like a spring day that would last forever and ever. Because of the good news. The good news of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Judean first, and also to the Greek, the Gentile. For therein, or in it, in what? In the good news is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Look in 2 Corinthians. The good news of our salvation, the good news of the grace of God, the good news of the kingdom, the good news of the Messiah. This good news is tremendous. And every time you bring it to mind, you should be able to recall how it was for you the day that you first believed that. That it first became real to you. There was a day when that happened. You just need to think about it. So I don't care what kind of bad news you're being flooded with. Just stop, slow down, and stay your mind in that good news and bring back to memory what it was like when you first believed the good news of the gospel of God. When that good news first pierced your heart, when the light of God's word illuminated all that makes you who you are, when you were sealed up with that Holy Spirit of promise. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, talking about the God of this world blinding the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel. Here it's called the glorious gospel of the Messiah, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How big it is, how important it is. So important that the adversary, the God of this world, the devil, so important that he wants to blind the minds of people so that they won't believe, so that this light of the glorious gospel of the Messiah of Christ should shine unto them. Because it is a gospel of our salvation. It is the gospel of the grace of God. It is the good news regarding the kingdom. This gospel, this good news of the Messiah. Look in 1 Timothy also. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's what Paul preached, what he taught Timothy to preach, what we are to preach, the glorious gospel of the blessed God. That is a tremendous reality, the glorious good news. Look in Revelation 14. Here it's called the everlasting gospel. I believe this is the last occurrence of this word in our Bibles. Greek word that's translated gospel. I believe it is. I didn't make that note here, but I believe it is. Revelation 14, verse 6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Man, what a tremendous truth. This gospel, this good news, isn't like the bad news that comes and goes and is replaced by even badder news. This is bad news. Oh, but we got even worse news. Oh, now we got even worser news. Badder and worser. And it replaces all the bad news that was before. But when it comes to the good news of God's glorious gospel, the gospel of our salvation, it is everlasting. It will last forever, this good news. It will never, ever be replaced. It will never, ever be replaced by bad news. And it's so good, it can't get any better. The good news of the glorious gospel of God, the everlasting gospel. Back to Matthew 4, which we looked at a few moments ago. That 23rd verse again, this first occurrence, which makes it significant in that Jesus taught the word, called attention to the greatness of this good news, this good news regarding the kingdom. Well, what kingdom? God's kingdom, which will be set up on earth here someday. All this that you see that produces an industry of bad news, that's going to be swallowed up by the word of God. All of it's going to change. This whole planet and everything on it, the heavens and everything in them, all will be replaced someday. That's good news. Verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel, the glad tidings of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. This world of ours today is filled with all those things. And it seems the lunatic end of it is gaining ascendancy over much of the rest of it. I mean, it's the stupidity that reigns today is remarkable. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and beyond Jordan. All of it began not from the healing, but from the teaching and preaching. That is, the teaching is the anchor of it, the preaching is the inspiration of it, the rest follows. Like the tail on a dog. There's good news. All the bad news of the world is designed to blind the minds of those that believe not and erode or steal, kill, and destroy the greatness of what we, God's people, already believe and have been exposed to. That's the purpose of it. Just eat away. Like that little Pac-Man game years ago. Remember that? Just ate everything in its way. Well, that's what the bad news does. That's why we must fill our souls with the gospel. Well, how do you do that? Well, you go to God's word. And you call to remembrance those days when you were illuminated. You were illuminated. I felt the way I felt because I was illuminated so many years ago. I was illuminated by this glorious gospel of salvation. It lifted every burden from my heart. Just a reality that we can continue to bring to remembrance because it hasn't changed. It's a what kind of gospel? An everlasting gospel. The good news you heard when you first believed hasn't changed. It's every bit as good as today as it was then. Matthew 24. How long must this gospel be preached? The gospel itself is everlasting, but how long must it be preached? And what is the end game, as it were? Well, here in the 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus lays out a whole series of events that must take place before the end. And here in the 14th verse, he declares, as is recorded, "And this gospel, this good news of the kingdom, shall absolutely be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." And the word for end there, according to Dr. Bullinger, means the actual end. Because, you know, you have beginning and you have beginning. You have end and you have end. For example, you have a beginning in your Bible. You have a first page. That's the beginning. But then you have a beginning in the book of Genesis. That's another beginning. Then you have a beginning when Jesus Christ was born. So there are different beginnings. For us, we all had a beginning when we were born, our earthly birth, biological birth. But then we had a new beginning when we were filled with God's Spirit. The new birth. Well, the same thing is true for the end. You know, I could go to the end of the book of Matthew. That's the end, but that's not the end of the Bible. I have to go to the last verse in the last chapter of the last book to get to the end. So there are ends, and there are actual ends. There'll be an end to this teaching eventually. But it will be the actual end, I hope, to the rest of my teaching. And so, the actual end, when it's a done deal, new heaven and earth is set in place and all these things, will occur after this gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. We should help to expedite that in our lifetime, should the Lord tarry. Get out there and preach that gospel. It's good news. Remember how you felt. Maybe there's somebody you know and love that you'd like them to feel that way too. Some downtrodden soul, perhaps. Maybe just somebody you run into. You get that opportunity, open your mouth and preach the good news. But what usually happens is you get sucked into a conversation of negativities, right? Negatives seem to be like a magnet, don't they? They just suck you right in. Well, we have to resist the temptation to be sucked into negativity and preach the good news. Make that good news the forefront of our thinking. And if it's the forefront of our thinking, it'll be the first thing that comes out of our mouths. Who knows who that last man will be? That last man. Years ago, I gave a teaching. I believe the title of it was The Last Man. The last man being the last person that hears the gospel. And there's nobody else that's going to hear it and believe it. You know, people could say, well, you know, it's been preached around the world. Well, has it? Has it really? I know it's been preached in plenty of places, but has the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and all the reality that God's word says that contains, has it really been preached? Or just aspects of it? Or opinions regarding it? Or maybe just little bits and pieces? Or maybe what one person thinks it is actually is quite different than what somebody else thinks it is. And both are different from what the Word of God says it is. So let's get out there and preach that good news. And share with other people the opportunity to be as we are. To feel as we felt. To live as we do. To have as we have before them what we have before us. Here in Mark, if you'll go there, 16, the last chapter in Mark, which record is regarding the last minute instructions that Jesus gave those that were with him on the day of the ascension. Now, these were the apostles and others. And he said unto them, in verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach, call attention to the greatness of what? The gospel, the good news, to every creature. That would be to all creation. Just like we read in Matthew. In all the world for a witness unto all nations. He that believeth and is baptized, and that's not with water, that's sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. People automatically associate the word baptize with water. You know, that simply means immersed. It doesn't mean water, it means immersed. In order to determine immersed in what, one must get the context. Well, believed. Believed has to do with receiving the gospel, not water. Baptized in the gospel, in the greatness of the good news. Immersed in it, like we were. They'll be saved, because it's the gospel, the good news of salvation. But he that believe not shall be damned, or condemned of themselves. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And of course, then, he ascended into heaven. Final instructions or last-minute instructions. Preach, call attention to, herald forth the greatness of the good news. Paul was proud of it because it's the power of God unto salvation. Look in Romans 10. We all remember that. Everybody remembers Romans 10, 9 and 10, to be sure. But let's set it in the context. I know we've done that in the past, but let's do it again. Romans 10, 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Lord is over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet, the path. That's what it's talking about. A beautiful path of them that preach the gospel, the good news of peace, and bring glad tidings, the good news of good things. Well, if you want your path to be beautiful, you must preach the good news of the gospel of peace. The good news, the glad tidings of good things. Do you think a person who brings nothing but bad news has a beautiful path? It's like the wake of a ship or a boat in the water. It leaves a wake. All of us in our lives, we leave something behind. What do you want to leave behind? What do you want to be in your path? Do you want it to be negativity? Do you want to leave everybody you come in contact with, leave a sour taste in their mouth because of the bad news that you got caught up in sharing with them? Or the sweetness of that spring morning, that spring life, that everlasting salvation, that gospel, that everlasting gospel of peace, glad tidings of good things? How about leaving that with them? Well, there's really no comparison, is there? Galatians, please. Chapter 1. We can be confident in sharing this gospel, this good news, because it's not of men. The bad news is of men. Men bring bad news. Verse 10, chapter 1 of Galatians. Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, or sought to please men rather than God, I should not or could not be the servant of Christ. But I certify, I guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel is, this good news is straight from God. Paul got it by revelation. We get it by revelation. When you read the gospel, the good news in God's word, you are reading revelation. What an honor it is to have that revelation of God regarding this good news. Imagine, if you will, what if it were bad news? Like the guy that hanging off the side of a cliff, you know, and he looks up there and he said, God, if there's a God up there in heaven, please, please deliver me. I trust in you. A few minutes, a voice comes back. Well, if you trust, let go. He thinks about it. Says, is there anybody else up there I can talk to? That was a Ronald Reagan joke, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Sue? I probably butchered it a little bit, yes. This good news is, where do you get it from, man? I mean, a man might have shared God's word with you, like I am now, but I'm not sharing my opinion. This good news is not something I came up with. This good news is something that God gave us by way of his Son and revelation. It's from God. And you know what? That's why it's good news. How many times do people bring you good news from man? What good news does man have for most of us today? Not very often, right? Usually it's bad news. Some of this stuff, it's unbelievably stupid anymore. I ask myself, can't any of these people rub two brain cells together to come up with one coherent thought? It doesn't seem they can. Why? Because their minds are full of worldly matters, and worldly matters are just a conglomeration of bad news. This is the good news of God's Word. This is what sets a man or a woman free. The good news of God, as we read, the good news of our salvation, the good news of the grace of God, of the kingdom, of the Messiah, the glorious gospel of God. And it's an everlasting gospel, a gospel of peace. Good tidings. I'd like to conclude with you in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And oh, prayer is such a good thing. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be super detailed. I mean, maybe you don't know what to pray for. But, you know, you can certainly sit down and in the quiet of your soul, say to God, Father, I feel overwhelmed. I don't know what to do here. Please help me. Please guide me. Please direct me. And you will have that peace of God that God's Word promises. And to pray for others, such a big thing. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. It's the word of truth, this gospel. It's gospel, brother. It's gospel, ma'am. This is the gospel of God. It is where we found out about the hope. And what else can you contrast with the hope to tarnish it? Well, nothing. Because when Christ returns, there'll be no more bad news for us. It'll be all good news for eternity, because we will see him as he is. We will know as we are known. We will see him face to face, and we will have bodies fashioned like unto his glorious body. And all those whom we've known and loved, who've fallen asleep before us, will be raised incorruptible. What a day that's going to be. And baby, that's good news. So I can't describe it, how I felt that day, 37 years ago, whatever. I cannot describe it to you, but I can still call it to remembrance. I remember how it felt. I remember how unburdened I felt. I remember how free and light I felt. I remember how promising the future looked to me. That day, I can still remember it. But I can't describe it, because the good news fills you with an indescribable joy, a joy that can only come from God himself. Make it a point to share that good news with somebody else in the weeks and months ahead.